Hello, I'm Mark Steiner.
And I'm Leah Gilmore.
And welcome back. I want to remind you the Mark Steiner Show is made possible by Johns Hopkins Medicine. For the 19th consecutive year, the Johns Hopkins Hospital is ranked number one by U.S. News and World Report in their annual Best Hospitals Survey. Find out more about the nation's top hospital at hopkinsmedicine.org. And today, this section.
What a show. What a show we have with us. One of my closest friends, or one of, you know, Baltimore had some of the most amazing artists and educators and just such a wealth of people that are just walking around the street here. How about that? But also walking around the streets of Paris and New York and Chicago. But I'd like to introduce Dr. Leslie King Hammond from MICA.
Graduate Dean Emeritus.
That's right.
And also the founding director of the Center for Race and Culture at the Maryland Institute College of Art.
Mike. And also on the board of the Reginald Lewis Museum, correct?
Chair of the board.
Oh, let me get it right.
Not just any old member.
Really, Dr. Hammond, Leslie, is such an asset to Baltimore and the world. She's one of the premier scholars on African-American art, so many different genres of art. So we're thrilled to have you here with us.
And we're here because of you're going to give a lecture on March 25th at 6:30 at the Reginald F. Lewis Museum. Mm-hmm. And you'll be talking about Romare Bearden and women as agents of change and authority, change, authority, and beauty. Correct?
Absolutely.
I love that title.
That's
enough
about
right there.
Us.
Enough said. Thank you. We can all go home.
That's right.
Glad you could join us. No.
Mark, you can leave now.
I'll leave. Y'all take over. I'm gone. Bye. So, let's talk a bit about the exhibit.
I'm just so happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
It's good to have you in the studio.
Please. Mm-hmm. This has been so many years since I've been to WEA, and it's so nice to be back and so nice to see everyone focused on all the wonderful things that are happening in our city. The exhibition is really a remarkable exhibition that has come to the Reginald F. Lewis Museum. And it is an exhibition that is a stellar show, which could have easily been hung at the Walters or the BMA. It could have been hung at any New York gallery. It was created and put together by the Romare Bearden Foundation in an effort to give wider exposure and understanding to the work of Romare Bearden, his unique technical facility and ability to convey images about the African-American experience and really about the human experience. Mm-hmm. It's really about human history.
Right.
And it is also an opportunity for us to understand the technical nature of his process. And that's the unique part about this exhibition, is that it gives us an inside view of the artist working in the studio, and how does all that happen, and where does that kind of alchemy? That's the best way. It's not just magic; it's alchemy because of the kind of energy that it sparks and the sources and resources that he used.
Now, I want to have folks, if they want to, they can go right to steinershow.org and log on to the BeardenFoundation.org site, or you can go there yourself, whatever you'd like. And for those of you who don't know how to spell, that's B-E-A-R-D-E-N, Foundation, one word, .org. And Romare Bearden, for people who may not, maybe a lot of people who don't know who he is. Right. I mean, he was one of America's greatest, most seminal artists.
Well,
but a lot of people don't know that, may know the name, but who's that?
Well, a lot of people hear the name.
Exactly. That's
you understand?
What I think.
That's what it is. Right. They hear the name. They hear the name. Mm-hmm. And they sort of know a little bit that he's an artist. And they don't really have the exact context or the uniqueness of his history. The short of it is that he was a gentleman who was born and raised in Harlem, New York, but also raised in Charlotte, North Carolina, but also has a very firm connection to Baltimore City.
Didn't he work for the Afro?
Absolutely.
That's right.
Absolutely. In his early years of trying to figure out and navigate, which is so typical for most artists, he began political cartooning for the Afro-American newspaper. And then later on, all of the newspaper's archives are located now in Bowie State University. I was running ahead of myself when university popped out. And that's where a lot of the original images can be found for those who want to do some study on the early leanings. But Bearden did not start as an artist. He started off in social sciences as a social worker.
For many years,
for
right?
many years, because one has to support themselves.
Right. Oh, we know that story well, don't we?
Any artist in the business knows we have to have one or two or three other gigs in order to make sure that our real passion can be kept afloat and nurtured. And for him, he in fact used his training in the social sciences to inform his work. And so when he became a political or editorial cartoonist, he was ripe for the opportunity and the challenge. He also, during that time, was, after having had completed his studies, also he was a mathematician, and he was also a songwriter and lyrics writer, and he was sort of had his finger in jazz.
And an author who wrote books.
He was a multifaceted, multi-talented man. So while he was doing all of these things, he was also experimenting with different visual mediums. And through his era of time, which came out of the WPA from the Great Depression to FDR to the 1930s.
He was a veteran himself, wasn't he?
Absolutely. Right. And he began to experiment. That's the best way to say it, because that's what it was. And he went through a number of kind of abstract, you know, periods and figurative periods. And he began to study with George Grotz, who was from the Bauhaus School and had come to the United States in the aftermath of the demise of the Bauhaus School.
What was the Bauhaus School?
The Bauhaus School was a German art school. It was the bomb. Okay, yeah. In Germany.
I feel so and proud Hitler, I heard of it.
Hitler wanted to bomb it, and so they left before he could.
So this was the 30s when he was there.
Was in the 30s,
and he also went to the Sorbonne.
Yes,
right?
Yes. He was well-educated, mm-hmm. well-honed. He also had a wide cadre of friends. We also have to understand that his parents were very much part of the social elite in New York. And his mother and his father were well ensconced in the society and the circles. Mm-hmm. And they used to have salons in his home. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was no big deal for all the great writers, you know, Langston Hughes and the like, to show up in his parlor, in his mother's parlor, to sit and have coffee, tea, and conversation, and wine, and just mm-hmm. continue that kind of discourse, which was terribly important for his own development. Right. So he was a man who was a connoisseur of culture, of the arts, of the letters, literature, science, music, anything that was going on, Paul Robeson, you name it, Bearden knew them, all right? And then as he went on through his life and he finally crystallized his style, he married a dancer, Nanette Bearden, mm-hmm. and then dance became part of his formal vocabulary also. He would create designs and set designs for her performances, and he would work with those musicians. Eventually, he would work with Wynton Marsalis. Right. And Wynton Marsalis had asked him at one point to create a cover for his CD. Mm-hmm. And Bearden said, only if you come to my studio every day. And he said he came to the studio every day that he could, and only on the days that he showed up would Bearden work on the cover. And on the other days, Bearden would not work on the
cover. And what did Wynton Marsalis say about that?
Well, Wynton Marsalis realized
but this
that Bearden
Robert
was...
Bearden.
That's what he said.
He would say, thank you. That's
what he wanted the cover.
And I think Brandon Marsalis did a whole series...
At the time of Bearden's retrospective at the National Gallery of Art,
Bradford
collected an ensemble of songs mm-hmm. and melodies and lyrics that Bearden was particularly fond of. And I believe that CD literally sold out very rapidly because people were so engaged.
It's difficult to get.
Difficult to get. Mm-hmm. Engaged by the idea that Bearden's visual imagery was so deeply tied to the very fundamental parameters around which jazz was created.
We're talking this hour Leah Gilmer and I, with Dr. Leslie King Hammond, who is the former graduate dean emeritus at Maryland Institute College of Art, who created their Center for Race and Culture at MICA, and is giving a lecture about Romare Bearden on the 25th of March. There's an incredible exhibit right now at the Reginald F. Lewis Museum with Romare Bearden's with 30 pieces from his
work. There are 30 images. And tomorrow night, David Driscoll, who was a personal friend of Bearden's, will be giving a talk and remembrances and recollections and all of those fabulous annoyance details about what it was like to be with an artist.
And
at
what
that
time
period.
Is that tomorrow?
That will be at 6:30 p.m. And it will be a wonderful experience. David Driscoll is a fabulous master of storytelling and narrative. And he's also the editor of an incredible series of books from Pomegranate Press on African-American artists. And his knowledge is literally legendary.
Yeah.
And we want to encourage folks now to go to steinershow.org and click on the Romare Bearden link. You can look at his oils and watercolors, collages, public art. His cover art, the music and poetry art that he did. As we talk about some of these paintings, you can see his work. We want to encourage you to join us here at 410-319-8888. Write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. Because I think that one of the things, Leslie, that Bearden's work, and also he authored some books about African-American art, by African-American artists, I should say, because I get tired of kind of pigeonholing every time there's an artist of who is from a community of color, you want to pigeonhole it as Indian art or black art. Mm-hmm. This is art painted by a black man.
Thank you, Mark. Right. Thank you. Thank you.
So, but I think that we don't know in America, really, that whether in the African-American community or any other community in America, about the huge tradition of art that's come out of the black world in America and how it's been influenced by all the art around it,
but in turn has influenced
all the art around it.
Right.
Yes, there's a total give and play that has been going on for centuries, for dynasties,
millennia. Right.
And the misconceptions about so-called artists of color from any cultural orientation is the assumption that they came to this United States, which is only part of the Americas, without any cultural history. Without any legacies.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that is so untrue. It's so profoundly untrue. Right. It is so dismissive and demeaning and undermining to all of the peoples who have come to the United States of America.
And it just gets perpetuated. I mean, that's what happens. It gets perpetuated in our language and how we describe what we're seeing. But Bearden, Leslie Bearden for me was, while I was matriculating, how about a big polysyllab at word, here at Morgan State, it was the arts department here. You may never hear me say that again. But it was the arts department
not
here.
To laugh.
I know you are. She's going to talk about me later.
Yes.
Go ahead, girl.
But, brother, let me make a good deep point.
Go ahead. We're waiting.
I have lost my deep emotional moment.
You go, Leah. Come on. Give it to us.
Go ahead.
But Bearden's work for me was a fundamental moment. It really was. I went to see it. And I'm 1986, and I was in Detroit, and it was at the Detroit Institute of the Arts in 1986. Uh-huh. And I was this, you know, really young 20-something, and I did not know this art until someone told me here at Morgan, you know, you have to go see Romare Bearden, and then in 2003 in D.C. But for me, Bearden's art is like a song. I can hear his music. When I see it, I can hear it. I can feel it. It's multisensory. What do you think about that, Leslie?
Well, his art was something that was born out of the images in popular culture that we were all so comfortable with.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We all read newspapers. We all read magazines. We all read journals and comic books. And we read all of that visual material, which in his time period was the rage. It was the standard, and that was the way we communicated. That was our media communications. And it was upon the revision or revisiting of Bearden, looking at Picasso, looking at the Cubist movement, which had begun to experiment in its early phases at the turn of the century with collage, that is, collages cut nothing but pure cut and paste, Take a pair of scissors, take a piece of paper, cut, cut, snip, snip, paste it together to create new images out of old existing images. Mm, that's all well collage said. Is. You can use paper, you can use cloth. Now they use literally everything. You can use buttons, pins, charms, stamps, whatever. But for Bearden, he began to clip old magazines. And voila. He then started adding fabrics because fabrics were part of his experience when he went summers to have time with his grandmother. And women were quilting and stitching and sewing and working in the garden. And so all of these fabulous images began to emerge out of materials that everybody was comfortable with. It wasn't oil on canvas and people are kind of like put off or terrified by it. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a print, an intaglio or a silkscreen or a lithograph. It was just plain old cut and paste. When you were in kindergarten, who didn't do cut and paste?
Well,
when
I your did, and it was nothing like Roman Bearden's.
We have to take a very brief break. Now, there's a caller, Patrick. Patrick, I hope you can hold on for like 2 or 3 minutes. We're going to come to your call. I know you've been holding on for a bit, and I wanted to get you before we went to break, but we only have like 45 seconds. I know you want to talk about something to do with Bearden in Baltimore, and I want you to hold on, we'll come. Make yours the first thing when we come back for a call. We are joined here by Dr. Leslie King-Hammond, Leah Gilmore and I are, who is Graduate Dean Emeritus at MICA. And we'll be giving the lecture tomorrow night, on March 25th, excuse me, Romare Bearden and Women as Agents of Change, Authority, and Beauty, which we're going to talk about. We're going to give us a tease about that lecture, so you can't, we've got to get something about that before we go. We'll be right back. I have to remind you, the Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the Maryland State Mortgage Late Don't Wait Program. For more information and personal counseling, the number is 1-877-462-7555. We'll come back to talk more about the incredible artist, Romare Bearden, whose work is now being on exhibit at the Reginald F. Lewis Museum, a show not to be missed, of 30 of his most remarkable works. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner.
I'm Leah Gilmore.
And the Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the University of Maryland Hospital for Children, offering primary, specialty, and critical care for all children from the smallest babies to the biggest teenagers. For more information or to learn about their specialty outpatient locations throughout the state, call 1-800-492-5538. And as I said at the top of the last hour, we want to welcome you.
Yes, I'm thrilled. We're welcoming Dr. Leslie King-Hammond, who is doing a lecture on March 25th.
Yes.
On the Romare Bearden exhibit. And Leslie is a premier culinary artist as well.
You're going to cook that night too?
Can we talk macaroni and cheese?
Listen, don't make me into
potato salad.
Potato salad. That's it.
I can't
become she is world famous.
Don't make me into a fibber liar. I promise Patrick we're going to go right to his call as soon as he came back.
That's right. You better go to Patrick.
Patrick, you're
and
on
Patrick
the air.
Patrick can ask about potato salad.
I don't think that's what he wants to talk about. Patrick, you're on the air.
Good afternoon or good evening.
Hi,
good
Patrick. Afternoon. How are you?
I'm very well. I am so enjoying this. I love Romare Bearden. And to hear that there is an exhibition of his in town, I'm just ecstatic. You know, I think that we as human beings, as African Americans, music overwhelms us as far as our senses. But the power of art. Mm. It's seldom discussed. We have it in our houses, and we subconsciously don't realize why it's there, but it ministers to our souls daily. I wanted to make you all aware, and I've got one other question, that
sure.
There is a mural in the Upton subway.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
By Romare, and if people want to kind of know what he's about, if they go through the subway, they can look at that and see, oh, my God, this guy is incredible. I think it's in mosaic. And I wanted to make you aware of that, and I wanted to know if they were going to have any interaction with young people so that they can bring them in, because they would love doing collages and things like that, and I was wondering if there was going to be any interactive program doing this, a show that young people from the schools might come in and learn what a collage is and maybe do some. That would be an interactive thing that I think would be just tremendous. But I'm enjoying this. I've learned more. I've been studying him for years, and I'm going to go, and I didn't even know there was a website so I could go and look at it, and I am going to the show at the Reginald. But now tell me, is there a charge for that? It's free or is it is there a charge?
No, there's a modest charge.
Which we can't talk about price, though. But
no, we can't. Right. We can't do that. But yes, there's a modest one, but well worth it.
And that, talk a bit about that. I want to just, before we jump off to it, you can answer this question about collages. Is that are there programs for kids?
We have all kinds of programs for adults. Certainly the lecture series, which we have been talking about between David Driscoll and myself and others. But yes, we have children's workshops, and we have a very structured curriculum. In fact, you ought to know that the curriculum for the museum that was written in tandem with the Maryland State Department of Education mandates that African American history and culture be taught within the curriculums of the school, and that Romeo Bearden is one of the featured artists.
Wonderful.
In that curriculum. So that's another reason why we are especially ecstatic about having Bearden at the museum. And I would like to thank the caller, Patrick, for mentioning. I'm so glad that I don't have to say everything, because I love it when the community comes in and they are aware of the things, the resources, the beautiful things that we have in our community. And yes, there is a magnificent mural, mosaic. Yes, you are absolutely correct. Located in the Upton Station, and everyone ought to go and take a look at it, because that is very free and accessible to the entire public.
Every day.
It's magnificent.
It's called Baltimore Uproar that he did in 1983, right. And it's
brilliant.
It's a jazz scene that he's painted in glass and tile.
Yes.
Just an amazing piece of work, and his gift to the city of Baltimore is
above
the Upton Radio, radio station. Subway station.
Subway station.
Right, the metro station there. Right. So, yes, it does sing. The mural sings.
It does.
To go back to your point, Leah.
And to further that point just a bit, you know, we got a text. I love modern technology, from Belva Scott, who is also a big supporter of the arts, and mentioned that Romare Bearden, as you mentioned earlier, was a songwriter.
I mean,
he was not just a lover of music, but he was a maker of music.
Oh, he was a maker of music, and he was a collaborator
with
musicians.
Duke Ellington.
Right. Duke Ellington. As I said, when he was growing up, he had great contact with all of the greatest of the early jazz musicians. And then as he began to work with his wife, Nanette, he had greater contact with musicians and dancers. So not only did he create the lyrics and work with the sound, but he also worked with the movement of form and space through the human body. He also worked with costuming. He was a great counselor to the dancers and what kinds of colors and arrangements and forms. Bearden was just remarkable, without exception, without elaboration.
Did you ever meet him?
Yes, of course.
Tell us about that.
Oh, yes.
I was a young scholar, and I was writing a catalog entry for Romare Bearden. And I went for his gallery at the time, and I was curious and nosy all at the same time, and took the opportunity to call him and say, look, I'm writing this catalog entry for you, and I'd like to come over to the studio. And he said, fine. And I got there, and there he was in this wonderful little studio on Canal Street where he had worked for forever, just seemed forever. His whole life was in there, including his cats. And we began to talk, and then he looks at me, and he was like a big old squishy teddy bear to me. It was like a grandfather. And he looked at me at one point and he said, so you hungry? And I went, yeah. And we went out and he took me to this wonderful Italian restaurant and he sat down and we kept talking and talking. And then I started to talk about some of the compositional arrangements of how he formed his cut and paste, his collage. And he takes this piece of paper and he starts drawing all of these drawings on the paper and showing me.
Do you have
how
them?
He's drawing? Of course. And then he gives them. And I said, well, can I borrow these? He said, oh, you can have these. Just keep these. You can, you know, use these in your writing because these are reference for you. And I was like,
You have Romare Bearden's drawings?
I have sketches, raw sketches. Yes.
Whoa.
Yes. Study sketches. Anything by Romare Bearden. Say, I also have a few prints. He gave me a print. Oh, yeah, I remember.
Yeah,
he gave
wonderful.
Me a print. Or maybe two. I think he gave me about two prints that day. Two of the prints that are in the show.
Amazing.
And so I have those prints. And he just continued to be a friend from that point on.
What a great story.
One of the things that's amazing about Romare Bearden, I mean, is that his, sometimes when you think about his work, you can think about it as being this one stylized form, but it wasn't. I mean, he worked in so many mediums. And, you know, because we can pigeonhole people. Like you do Jacob Lawrence, anybody else, any other artist, you pigeonhole them into one place. But his stuff had a breadth to it. I mean, he loved working in paints. He loved working in collages. He loved work. I mean, he moved his, the materials he used from one to the other. He was an amazing, versatile, and prolific. My God, how many paintings did he do?
Oh, God.
Just so prolific.
Exceptionally prolific.
Exceptionally prolific. Mm-hmm. And one of the beauties about the show at the Lewis Museum is that you get to see the way he thinks.
Oh.
You can walk through his mind and walk through his process and walk through his tools. Towards the end of his, not the end of his life, but in later life, he and his wife bought a home on the island of St. Martin where she was from.
Right. Right.
And when he was on the island of St. Martin, he built a beautiful studio there. He didn't do collage. He did watercolors. And the watercolors are absolutely lush.
And we don't see that a lot. We don't see his watercolors. No. Where can we see his watercolors?
Well, there are many reproductions available, but there is also a book of his watercolors that you can see. You would have to go to the foundation or go to the site, and they could locate a number of the watercolors for you. But the watercolors are so revealing because they show a kind of passion and a joy of nature. And his reveling in the color of the Caribbean with the blue waters and the floral scenes from the different, you know, environments with the flowers and the birds. And so you get to see a whole nother Bearden. Bearden also did wonderful narratives. He narrated visually narrated Homer's Iliad and Homer's Odyssey. And he did beautiful, beautiful watercolor studies of those literary classics. So he would bounce back from music to literary classics to dance to drama. Bearden was everywhere, not all over the place. He was everywhere.
Well said.
Because everywhere was who he was as a human being.
We have some of the callers coming in that I want to get to. I just want to read a little quote here, if I can find it real fast, that... where did it go? Bear with me. Come back. Here we are. That's not it. I'll come. It's a quote by August Wilson. Mm-hmm. What he said when he saw Bearden. This is August Wilson's thoughts. And Bearden did a painting that a cover for August Wilson in his plays. He said, "What I saw was black life presented on its own terms, on a grand and epic scale, with all its richness and fullness. It was the art of a large and generous spirit that defined not only the character of black American life, but also its conscience."
That is so eloquent, so true. And that is exactly what Bearden was trying to do without being pretentious. But he had an inside special view, having had privilege and access to some of the greatest intellectual minds in his time.
Right.
And he was tutored and mentored by those individuals as much as he was through his degreed studies at a major university.
And he speaks about that. He says that, you know, his education was important, but it was his relationships that really informed his art.
Mm-hmm. Just like Jacob Lawrence, when I was working with Jacob Lawrence on his catalog Raisonne project, I remember Jake saying to me over and over, "Leslie, don't ever let anyone tell you that my work belongs in a different school of thought."
Mm-hmm.
I was educated by what I called the University of Harlem. Mm. The University of Harlem.
There you go.
And it was the people, the artists, who saw Jake as a child and said, "This is a gifted individual. Let's just give him this stuff and let him play with it. Let him figure it out. We don't need to tell him what to do. He will figure out what to do." He said, "Leslie, these are the people at whose feet I sat and I listened to. I didn't even understand them half the time, but I listened." And as a result, he, and then later subsequently Bearden, learned and gave us some of our greatest legacies.
That's right. I just think that the fact that Leslie can say Jake, you know, we're just talking about Jacob.
I'm sorry.
Means we have to have
that was another one of my sweethearts.
No, we have to have a separate interview just to talk about the Jake.
I was thinking that. I think that's Jake next,
and
right?
Romy.
Jake and Romy.
Jake and Romy.
Let's get another call in here. 410-319-8888. Jill, you're on the air. Jill, you're there.
I didn't This is a wonderful show, and I just wanted to mention that the book about Romeo Bearden in the Caribbean was written by Sally Price and published a few years ago. So if listeners wanted to look that up.
And thank you.
Some of the watercolors and his work. It was a very unique book. So I don't remember the exact title, but it is written by Sally Price and it was published just a few years ago.
Well, that's why I encourage everybody to just go to steinershow.org and hit the Bearden link on our website, and all the list of the books and the paintings will be there, and you can educate yourself about Bearden if you're not familiar with him, see his paintings, be inspired to go down to the Reginald F. Lewis Museum on President Street and see the exhibit. 30 of his most incredible works are at the museum now. And as we said earlier, our guest here, Leslie King Hammond, will be speaking there on the 25th of March. She'll be speaking on Romare Bearden and women as agents of change, authority, and beauty. And speaking tomorrow night is
David Driscoll, who is the editor of the Pomegranate series on African-American artists and professor emeritus from the University of Maryland College Park, and the founding director for the Center of the Driscoll Center for Research at University of Maryland College Park. So that is another stellar lecture.
And he is an amazing speaker.
Yes,
I've heard him speak before, and it just comes alive, as are you, Leslie.
Well, it's in the oral tradition, dear.
Oh, we know about that, don't we?
Let's see if we can get a very quick 30-second call from a listener. Do we have time for that? Gail, you're on the air, but it has to be very fast. We have to go to break. Go ahead.
Hi,
Gail. We have less than a minute. I'm sorry.
Okay, I'm sorry. I just wanted to mention to Leslie an early 80s interview with Romare Bearden through Chroma Gallery. And
Is this Gail Chroma?
Yes.
Hey, Gail, how are you?
Hi,
Gail.
Hi, Gail.
I'm enjoying this conversation. It's wonderful. And I just wanted to go back to when we interviewed Romare, and Leslie was there. We interviewed him, and he was such a delightful person, very youthful, we were with him, and he was skipping down the hallway of the hotel, and he's just very playful, and I really, really enjoyed him as a person, as well as I respect him for his knowledge as an artist also. So I don't know, Leslie, I don't know whether you remember.
Well, Gail, I'm sorry.
I remember that was the moment that he was in town for the Baltimore Museum of Art exhibition. Okay, I'm done.
We have to take a break because we have to go to another segment. But we want to encourage all of you to go down to the Bearden exhibit at the Reginald F. Lewis Museum.
Oh, yes.
Come here, Leslie.
I will be there.
Leslie King Hammond on the 25th of March. Tomorrow night, Dr. Driscoll will be giving his lecture. And I want to thank my co-host and dear, dear friend, Leah Gilmore, for being here tonight.
Thank you, Mark. It was thrilling.
Leslie, great to have you in the studio.
Oh, I want to come back.
You will.
Right.
We're going to take a
Jacob
brief
Lawrence.
Break. Come right back. When we come back, we're going to have a conversation with the mad, insane, brilliant, and beautiful Ethelbert Miller. Stay with us.